Well, over the past few weeks, we've explored the question, why church? With sermons on pastoral relationships, serving opportunities, spiritual accountability. And this morning, I want to share a message with you about being the body. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, all the way, reading down all the way to verse 27. I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. And we're going to read the scripture together. It's on your screen. Would you join me together in one voice? Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this beautiful imagery from the Apostle Paul speaking to us, the church today. Not just the church in Corinth, but the church here at WPA. And I pray that we'd apply these words to our lives today. I pray that we would hear the word of the Lord with clarity, that there would be no division among us, that we would truly be the body of Christ filled with many members, that we would all exercise our gifts, Lord, and that what was said earlier, this word from the Spirit, would now be confirmed by your word. So we thank you for the combination of word and spirit. It reminds us that you are alive and well, and you're relevantly speaking to your people today. May we have the ears to hear. May we have the eyes to see that which the Spirit of God is saying to us today. We will choose obedience, Lord, today. And so we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. The imagery of the body of Christ should be very easy for all of us to understand. You see, each one of us have been given a physical body, so we should understand its basic function. If we don't understand its basic function, in order to have an in-depth knowledge, we must become aware of human biology and anatomy and physiology. The Apostle Paul specifically used the image of the body as a macrocosm of the church universal with all the believers in the world, but also as a microcosm of a local church with a specific group of believers in a particular location. And the image applies no matter how big or how small the church. It's not a part-to-part or a member-to-member comparison because there are only 78 organs in the body. It is more of an abstract biblical principle or concept that helps us understand our interdependence with one another, and it helps us value each other as we ought to. Now, of course, a body is nothing without a head. Therefore, we are nothing apart from Christ. Christ is the head of this church. Let me remind you today, yes, I may be the pastor of this church. We might have elders and deacons and pastors in this church, but Christ is the head of this church. This would be a great time to type amen. So the image is a beautiful image. It is Christ's image, and we are his bride, the church. According to the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the body, the church, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He also said something similar in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. See, God, he exercises his authority over you and me, over his church. And he must determine how we collectively live, move, and have our being. So why the church? It's because you cannot be the body of Christ without belonging to the church of God. This morning, I want us to examine some of the challenges that we must overcome and the benefits of being a part of the body of Christ, as it is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. The first point I want to make this morning is envying a part of the body. There is this tendency within all of us to envy another part of the body. We see this particularly in verses 15 to 18. The scripture says, "Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. But if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Isn't that amazing? God has specifically done this for us. One of the traits that a variety of biblical authors have encouraged believers to get rid of is that of envy. Solomon in Proverbs 14:30 gives us a piece of wisdom. "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." This is a trait that leads to our decay and to our eventual destruction. It was Jesus who taught in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 22, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is a trait that defiles the purity of a person. Part of the Apostle Paul's definition of love we find in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It's a beautiful portion of scripture. It includes this, that love does not envy. Envy is evidence of the absence of love. Now, envy may sound very similar to coveting, but these words are different in meaning. You see, envy is more focused on feeling discontent about what other people have, while covetousness is more focused on the action of taking what is not yours in the first place. In other words, dealing with our envy will keep us from coveting. The Apostle Paul, he gave us two examples using the body of Christ imagery in this first section of scripture that we're looking at. And the first is that of a foot that wants to be a hand. And the second is of an ear that wants to be an eye. And these body parts speak because they represent you and I and what we often feel and what we often say. See, the idea is that if we were given a role that we do not want and are envious of someone else's role, we would rather not be a part of the body at all. But you are who you are, and you can do what you do by the grace of God, This is God's choosing, not your own choosing. You don't get to choose what you are or who you be. This is God's choosing for you. And he specifically places you in the body of Christ for a reason. The reality is that you are still a part of the body of Christ, whether you like it or not. Whether you like what part you are or not. The foot, it becomes dead weight. And the ear becomes plugged in its canal. See, at the end of the day, it is the entire body of Christ that is hindered because of one person's envy. If you do not fulfill your God-given assignment in the body of Christ, my friends, who will? Guess what? God is not going to replace you. He is waiting for you to stop thinking that the body of Christ is all about you. It's all about others. If we were all eyes, we could all see, but who could hear? If we were all ears, we could all hear, but who could smell? And just like we need all five senses to accurately discern the real world around us, we need all members of the body to function in order to fulfill the will of God as the body of Christ in the world we're living and in the time we're living. I want to turn your attention to the words, simple words, but God. We find this word, but God, at the beginning of verse 18. And this is one of the Apostle Paul's trademark phrases in his epistles, but God. Now, in this case, he added, in fact, between but and God. So, but, in fact, God. To certify the claim that he was making. And the phrase is used between a description of a former way of thinking or a former way of living, and then suddenly interjected to show in polar contrast that we can no longer think or live the way we once did. We must live in a new way. For example, let me give you just another example by looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Now look for but God, okay? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. This is our former life. But because of his great love for us, God, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. In other words, you and I might have previously envied one another, but because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, we must stop envying altogether. If it was but God who saved us from our lifestyle of sin, then it is also but God who has placed us in the body of Christ. This is not a random assignment. This is a strategic placement. It is not your decision. It is his decision for you. Don't fight it. Just embrace it. If you're a member at WPA, don't envy another person, period. Do not envy someone in church leadership because of their position, a pastor, an elder, or a deacon. Play your unique role and do it so well to the glory of God. Second point I want to share with you today is eliminating a part of the body. We find this in verses 21 to 25. See, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with a special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. As we continue being the body of Christ, being members of a local church, we may be tempted to eliminate another part in the body of Christ. More specifically, to eliminate another person, to get rid of them, to push them out, to tell them to go to another church, to ignore them. The Apostle Paul, he continued to provide us with two more examples using the body of Christ imagery that we find in this second section. The first is of an eye that does not think the body needs a hand. And the second is of a head that does not think the body needs feet. Who gave the body the right to determine which members belong and do not belong to the body? We have no right. We have no say. It is all up to God. That is the job of the head, who is Christ Jesus. That is not the job of the body. Apostle Paul, he alluded to a human-created hierarchy of parts in the body of Christ. Some parts of the body were considered weaker parts. Some parts of the body were considered less honorable parts. Some parts of the body were considered unpresentable parts. And beware of the superiority complex and the entitlement spirit that creeps into the body of Christ. Friends, I bring this up time and time again because in an established church like WPA, this spirit of entitlement, this spirit of superiority is bound to visit us. May I remind you that you are not more important because you're a member of WPA. Neither are you more important because you have been a member of WPA for many years. No one is greater than and no one is less than. Amen? Instead of exclaiming, "I don't need you," we should be exclaiming, "I need you." You might not know somebody's name. You might not know anything about them. But because they're a part of the body of Christ here at WPA, you need them. I need them. We need them. Apostle Paul, he wrote to help the Corinthian church understand God's valuing system and elevate our value for these lesser parts. The supposedly weaker parts are actually indispensable parts. The supposedly less honorable parts are to be treated with a special honor. The unpresentable parts are to be treated with special modesty. While the presentable parts, they don't need anything special. Now, I want to draw your attention once again to the words, "but God," in the second half of verse 24. We used to want to eliminate the weaker, less honorable, and unpresentable parts of the body, but God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has now taught us how to value those seemingly lesser parts with greater honor, so now they're viewed as equals with one another. A few verses earlier, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he clarified, "For we were all baptized by one spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink." Catch the word "one." Jews and Gentiles are equally part of the body of Christ, and Gentiles, that's us. Slave or free are equally part of the body of Christ. May I add to the list what is stated elsewhere in Scripture? Male and female, young and old, are equally part of the body of Christ. One of the things I'm passionate about is reconciling or eradicating division in the church. And whenever I see it, here's my commitment to you. You got to know that I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to allow it to fester. I'm not going to watch it happen. I'm going to strike immediately, and I'm going to deal with that stuff. It might require having a hard conversation, but friends, it's the right conversation. And Satan wants to destroy the unity of this church. Let me tell you, there is a big target on 395 King Street North. There's a big target on every one of your lives because Satan would love to divide his church. And he wants to destroy the unity from the inside out. So we must protect the body of Christ at all costs. addressing the unity and the division in the church of Corinth was one of the Apostle Paul's major concerns when he was writing 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." See, instead of eliminating someone, which is actually sowing division, let me encourage you today to encourage someone and to sow unity in the body of Christ. Thirdly today, third point is that we'd experience the joy and the pain with the body. We find this in verse 26 and 27. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We have looked at two challenges that we must overcome. I want us now to look at one significant benefit that we can experience from being members of the body of Christ. See, the Apostle Paul ended by taking time to highlight the interconnectivity of the body of Christ. That means your life is connected to my life, and my life is connected to your life, whether I know you or I don't know you. As long as we're members of the body of Christ. See, the effect of your personal joy, the effect of your personal suffering ripples throughout the body of Christ. A benefit from participation in the body of Christ is that no one should ever rejoice and no one should ever suffer alone. In verse 26, Apostle Paul taught that if one part suffers, every part suffers. Think about that for a second. Think about your personal challenges that you're facing today. Think about the celebrations and the milestones in your life. Today we celebrated James's milestone. When James celebrates, we celebrate. When you have a loved one who passes away and you begin to mourn, we mourn with you as a family. Our interconnectedness is founded not only in our shared humanity, the fact that we're human beings, but it's our shared spirituality that we're members of the body of Christ. See, members are not limited to pity and to sympathy, but are able to exercise empathy and compassion. And so as Apostle Paul spoke about love in action in Romans 12, verse 15, we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. This is how we do life together. Friends, let me challenge you in two ways this morning. There are so many people who have not yet taken a step to become members here at WPN. You hear me saying this over the last few weeks on the series on why church membership is so important. It's such a key thing here at WPA. And you have chosen to remain private and to stay on the fringe of the congregation, causing you to experience your joy and your suffering in isolation instead of in community. I want to encourage you to take the next step today, to join the community in a deeper way through the bond of membership, through the covenant of membership here at WPA. See, you might be a member of the body of Christ theologically, but you still have not become an active member of the body of Christ practically. The body of Christ that meets at WPA is incomplete without you. We need you to be an active member of this family. Don't just come in and come out. Don't just waltz in and waltz out when you feel like it. You're part of a family. Your family needs you. Your family wants to know you. We want to do life together. Alternatively, there are many members who have ignored the joy and suffering of other members because they have not taken the time to get to know one another or to even truly value each other. We pass each other by in the halls of this church. We pass each other by online, digitally. And if we're going to be the body of Christ, we have to make more of an intentional effort when it comes to our relationships. One thing that you can do today to start relationships with others is email Pastor Kim and ask her how you can join a discipleship pair. We love this ministry of discipleship. You can join either as a mentor, you can join as a peer, you can join as a mentee. And while in a small group, you're meeting a lot of people, and that's good, and I encourage you to join a small group. In a discipleship pair, you focus on building your friendship deeply with one person at a time. Maybe you could take a next step today. You can introduce yourself to somebody who you've never met before, even online. Ask them about their life. Ask them what you can pray for. Follow up with them on their progress. Join with them when they celebrate. Stand with them when they're suffering. This is what it means to be brothers and sisters and members of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is only as healthy and strong as its collective members. And health and strength are forged in our shared joy and our shared suffering. Apostle Paul, he ended by repeating what he had been saying throughout the whole portion of Scripture that we just read. In verse 12, the concept is communicated in two ways. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. In verse 14, we read it the first way. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. In verse 20, we read the reverse in the second way. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now here in verse 27, it is no longer an abstract concept. It's no longer a teachable point. It's a personalized statement. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. At the end of the day, every believer is part of the living organism that we call the body of Christ, which is sustained by the breath of God, the blood of Jesus, and the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. As I conclude this morning and the worship team prepares to come, I had initially planned to show you an awesome video, but due to copyright protection, I'm unable to show it on video and stream it to you today. Unfortunately, I hope this works, but a picture should suffice for you today. And the picture is of Google Android Monotune by Jonathan Glaser. Now, I encourage you to Google this video after service by searching the phrase Android Monotune by Jonathan Glaser, and you will see it for yourself. It is an amazing video. An ad campaign for Google's Android has a young musician named Ji Yong Kim playing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, the third movement. And as his hands fly over the keys, a piano virtuoso, a statement is projected on the screen. A piano has 88 keys. Then we see another statement. Each one is different. After a few moments, we see another statement. But what if they were all the same? With that, the piano switches to an identical piano and continues to play. However, regardless of what key he strikes, every note on the re-engineered piano is the same. It's a middle C. No matter where he goes on the piano, he hits the same frequency of middle C. He alternates between the two pianos until the final frame of the video where we read, "Be together, not the same." So the message of the New Testament is that each person is different. Each is given a note to play in the grand song of the body of Christ. Yes, church membership is an option, but being a part of the body is not optional, my friends. We are stronger when we're together as a body. We're stronger together when we're actually not the same. We're stronger together when we're independent, when we're interdependent on each other and not independent from one another. I need you. You need me. We need each other. We're stronger when we're together, but not the same. Let's pray.